1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
And we're live in New York City, as we will be through Friday. And we are here courtesy of the great people at Priceline.com. I can't thank them enough. Priceline.com, Phil Henry's official travel provider for airline tickets, hotel rooms, rental cars. Go to Priceline.com for all your travel needs today. Although, while in New York, you're not going to need a car. They got the train and they got the cabs, man, and you got your feet. And the best way to see this place, the best way to see this town as we've been seeing it, is by train or by foot. The cab drivers, fantastic guys. They do about 0 to 60 in, 14 hundredths of a second. These guys go up to 100 miles an hour, even though they've only got 100 yards to drive from one red light to the next. They'll go like, go up to 100 miles, then let's hit the brakes. And you're like, it's unbelievable, man. It's like a rocket sled. But Priceline.com has set us up, and it's just been a beautiful experience. Like I said it last hour, I'll say it again. I think it bears repeating. I'd live here, and I would move here tomorrow. That is how much fun we're having. That is how great this town is. New York City. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Flight attendants, if you saw the news at all today, have been campaigning for more security. And there are some who feel that perhaps the flight attendants themselves should have a little more power. And that is in terms of the security. Art Griego is with us. He's a former commercial pilot calling us from you at the Santa Monica Airport right now, Art?
I'm not at Santa Monica Airport. I'm at a little place called Ruby Jim's, which is a kind of a tavern. It's a nice place to have a cocktail just near the airport.
All right, and you're one of those people that believes that flight attendants should have a little more say-so, a little more control?
Oh, absolutely. I think that I believe that our flight attendants should be given way more power than they have for a couple of reasons. I think the security that they can provide, and I think it's just a way of saying thank you for... there's a few of us who believe it's a big thank you for 70 years of taking nothing but crap from passengers.
Well, they've done more than take crap.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, they've enjoyed their job. But if you think, if you had a corral and you were at a ranch out west, I grew up on a ranch in Wyoming, and you could fill a barnyard up with the amount of crap that flight attendants have taken, you'd be able to fertilize I don't know how many thousands of acres. Because
you think that's been primarily the flight attendant experience?
I think that there's been a lot of it. So I think it's a way of saying saying thank you, because they have taken and they've given. What they've taken is crap, and what they're giving are peanuts and drinks. And I don't think that's an equal trade-off.
Well, what would you allow flight attendants to do?
I'd give them all the power in the world. I think that the best way, Phil, to keep an incident from happening in the airplane is to give the flight attendant the power of deciding. When you get on an aircraft right now, you can decide whether you eat, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I can order a dinner, I can order a drink.
That's right. I think that needs to be taken away from the passengers and given directly to the flight attendant. They decide who eats. They decide who gets to use the toilet. They get to decide who drinks. They get decide. They decide as to who sits where. No more assigned seating in coach. The flight attendant looks at you when you board, and then they tell you what seat you sit in.
All right, now what does all of this do for security? A flight attendant assigning the seats, a flight attendant deciding who eats, who drinks.
You have complete control. You look at somebody, you don't like their face, you put them against a window. You look at someone who you don't think should be eating, you tell them they don't get to eat. You look at, I'll give you an example. You want certain people in a weakened state. You see a big guy who might pose a threat. He doesn't eat. That immediately means his blood sugar drops. He doesn't have the strength that it might take to commit a hijacking. Pregnant women, I think, are a big red flag, Phil, and I'll tell you why.
Pregnant women and big guys, they're all being put into seats as well, wherever the flight attendant says?
That's right.
What about, why do pregnant women pose a threat?
Well, if you think about it, a pregnant woman doesn't look like the kind of person who would hijack a plane. For that very reason, you should suspect her of hijacking a plane. And I think you take all pregnant women, you put them up against a window in the back, so that there's no way that they can, if you're pregnant, how are you going to crawl over somebody, excuse me, I'm going to go hijack the plane? I don't think so. And, you know, the other thing is that you don't have people sitting with their kids. You spread people out. And
you're asking an awful lot for a flight attendant to take control over, you know, who eats, who doesn't eat, where do they sit. I mean, that in and of itself is a difficult task for a reservation clerk, okay? And to ask a flight attendant to decide...
Well, they can do it. Just say you go there. Just, it's an easy thing to do. The other thing, Phil, is they come in and they say, do I sit with my kids? Now, that's a red flag. Well, what do you mean, do you sit with your kids? Do you want to sit with your kids?
Well, don't you think most people would want to sit with their kids?
Right, but you say, you don't give it away. If somebody asks you, the flight attendant, do I sit with my kids? Maybe. And it depends on the flight attendant. You may not sit with your kids. Maybe you don't see your kids until you pick them up at baggage claim. And if you meet a flight attendant that's having a bad enough day, maybe you don't see your kids until they come down out of the baggage chute. I mean, that is...
All right, Art, there's... Obviously, the children are not going to cause that kind of a problem.
But that is the kind of control that I think that they should have. These women, these flight attendants, they know people. They've been flying with people for a long time. They scrutinize them. They read them. Make a decision, move them out. Move them in, move them out. Move them in, move them... That's all they do. You give the flight attendants the power that they want and the power that they should be given, and I think you're going to see a much, much safer place for people to fly. And I think that is the one thing that's been missing from all of this.
All right, Art Griego is with us. He's a former commercial pilot who believes that flight attendants should be given the power to deny food, deny drink, have people sit where they assign the seating. And you're saying denying food to weaken people if they don't look right.
That's correct.
And isn't this profiling?
No, it's not profiling. A big guy, little guy. How is it profiling when you deny food to a pregnant woman or to a big guy? They're not Arabs. You know what I'm saying? So in other words...
Well, okay. Now...
Denying food, Phil, is a great thing. You see a pregnant woman, does she eat? She could be the most likely person to hijack a plane because you don't think she would. Therefore, she doesn't eat. We need to get our flight attendants out of the skirts and the slacks. Put them into cargo pants. Put them into sports bras. Utility belts with all kinds of things that could be hanging off of them. I don't know what they would have on them.
Weapons?
I don't know. Just things that look threatening. Weapons would be wrong, but things that look threatening.
And all right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Talking to us from Ruby Jim's bar near the Santa Monica Airport is Art Griego, a former commercial pilot, who believes that flight attendants ought to be allowed to just basically have the power of life and death over passengers.
That is, essentially, that's it. And again, getting back to the pregnant thing, when you see a pregnant woman, don't you ever think what's really under that shirt? I mean, what could they really be doing? Kids are among the biggest problems, too, on an aircraft, Phil, and sometimes the best place to put them from time to time is below deck in a pressurized area. So that
what kind of threat could a kid pose?
You have a hijacker with a kid, he could send the kid running up and down the aisle to begin to confuse people. Running up and down the aisle and throwing peanut bags. People are going, oh, look at the cute kid. Next thing you know, you've got a hijacker staring at you because they've used the kid to confuse and befuddle the passengers. Going up and down the aisle, banging on the lavatory door, can I have more apple juice? Can I have more, you know. A lot of it's the fact that I had kids and... my wife has custody of them now. It's just a tough thing.
And this thing that you want all flight attendants wearing sports bras, cargo pants, utility belts with stuff hanging from them.
That is correct, yeah.
But you don't say what?
Well, I mean, it could be anything. Just stuff that looks bad, evil. I don't know. Just anything that looks like they're going to pry the airplane apart. The Laura Croft look from Tomb Raider, if you recall that, Phil.
Well, she had guns.
Well, they're talking about guns. But anything that looks like she could, if she needs to, and if she gets angry enough, and she thinks the passengers are not behaving the way they should, or if, in point of fact, there is an attempted hijacking, that flight attendant, if need be, could begin to disassemble the plane in midair. Now, I don't know about you, Phil.
Well, that is a threat, though.
That's a threat, but that's a possibility. I don't know about you, but the idea that a flight attendant gets so angry that she starts taking the rivets out of the airplane as it's flying. No, sir, I don't think you'd see many hijackings.
Art Griego with us with an extreme idea on how to keep people safe in the air.
Maybe you could put a socket set on the belt, on the belt, so that it looks if she had a socket wrench or something like that. But our model, Phil, for this would be the Linda Hamilton look in Terminator 2. Do you remember Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2?
Vaguely. Is she the one with it?
Yeah, the weightlifter?
Yeah.
That's what we want our flight attendants to look like. Linda Hamilton, Terminator 2. Okay? Basically, we need for the flight attendants, Phil, to have the power to tell the passengers, you sit there with your hands folded across your lap and keep your mouth shut. And you might survive the flight before I take the thing apart in midair, and I don't care how many of you people...
Well, this is a threatening and an extremely uncomfortably threatening environment to be in for an air traveler.
I think the time's dictated, Phil. I think what we have seen over the last 60 days dictated. But you sit there with your hands folded in your lap, you keep your big fat mouth shut, and you might get a bag of peanuts. Now, I'm sorry, Phil.
It just sounds angry.
I'm sorry, but a lot of us in the air industry, flying through the air business.
The airline industry?
The airline industry, that's what I was looking for. We just need it, that's all.
A very angry Art Griego. You used to fly commercial, didn't you?
I flew for 20 years, yeah.
And you told me one time it was no tougher than just getting on board, throwing a switch, falling asleep, and hearing the alarm go off before you got to New York.
Well, there was a little more involved, but it was absolutely. I mean, we want those gals to be able to snap a hijacker's neck with their thighs if they have to.
Yeah. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Do we give the flight attendants more power, more control over the passengers? They decide who eats, they decide who doesn't eat. They decide who drinks, they decide who doesn't drink. They decide who sits where and when. And if anybody mouths off, if anybody does anything that is the least bit untoward as far as the flight attendants go, then they deal with them. But give them all the power. Who goes to the bathroom and when? He also talked about changing the look of flight attendants from the skirts and the slacks to a Linda Hamilton Terminator 2 look, where they are wearing a utility belt, and the way Art put it, with evil-looking stuff hanging off the belt. Now, the thing that I thought was, I didn't like hearing this. He wanted the passengers to believe that the flight attendants, if they wanted to and if they needed to, could take stuff off their belt and begin pulling the airplane apart in midair, rivet by rivet. That's like flying with who? That's like flying with a Terminator. 1-800-449-8686. As we continue to talk about airline safety, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
What you do, you get scared, you know. And that's the thing you don't want to do.
We're back with Art Griego. Hold on, Art. We're back on the air.
All right.
1-800-449-8686. Let me do it again. 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego is with us.
I'm sorry. I was writing that down, Phil. What is it?
You don't have to write the number down. You're on with me already.
All right. Okay.
We're talking to Art Griego about airline safety. Tell me the story when you were a commercial pilot.
When I was a commercial pilot, we had had some work done inside the cockpit. And
well, let me take a phone call. Can you hold that story?
Sure.
All right. Let me take a phone call here from Alicia. Alicia, go ahead. You're on The Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, fine, ma'am.
Hi, I'm calling because I heard his last comment, and there was something that I wanted to say.
Well, go ahead, Alicia, whatever you want to say.
Okay. He was talking about the flight attendants and saying that they weren't profiling because they weren't selecting people who are Arab. And just because they're Arab doesn't mean that you're profiling. I mean, if you
Janet,
pick someone
who's
Alicia, a woman
Alicia,
or a
I gotta
man,
ask you,
or,
Alicia, I got to ask you to speak right into the phone because you faded out there. Say that again.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Profiling is discriminating against the way someone looks. They don't have to necessarily be an Arab. Discriminating, picking out a pregnant woman is also profiling.
Only pregnant women that look suspicious.
Okay.
As you know, it's Mary?
Alicia,
I'm sorry. As you know.
Alicia,
pregnant women should not fly up to a certain point. But if you see some woman come on there with the balloon gut, that's suspicious. That makes me think there isn't a baby in there. There may be a large, it could be a bomb. I don't know what it could be.
So okay, and what about the large men? You're going to discriminate against them just because
not
they're
all of them.
Large?
Pregnant women have the best place to hide something, first of all. As far as the big, tall, strong men go, we're only talking about coach. We're not talking about first class. If they sit in first class, obviously...
Wait a second. In other words, the flight attendants are only doing this to people who sit in coach?
Of course, yeah.
So now you're financially discriminating.
No. I mean, the fact is the people who sit in first class obviously paid... Well, they paid a lot of money to sit up there. The people who are sitting in coach, they might
have
clicked out a... I beg your pardon?
Terrorists have money. I mean, they can afford
the chance
ticket.
That a terrorist, a terrorist is going to, I'll take one-way ticket for $3,000, please, just so I can blow myself out of the air. I don't think so. Now, and you got to give consideration to first-class passengers. They've spent a lot of money. They're not clipping coupons out of a travel book and going, gee, let me get my round trip to London for $199, So that
Wait a minute. The lady's got a good point. You're only going to give these stewardesses, these flight attendants, life and death decision over people in coach.
Yeah. What's unusual about that?
Well, what about the people in first class?
They paid a lot of money to sit there.
I don't think that you're giving enough credit to the intelligence of these terrorists. They realize that if they buy that first class ticket, then you're not going to be looking at them. They're not stupid people.
Well, Arabs sitting in first class, okay. I'll give you that.
I see. So only Arabs get thrown off?
No, they're not thrown off. They're just told when they can go to the can. You can't deny caviar to a person in first class. That's against the up in the air, the flying...
Airline industry.
I'm sorry. The airline industry rules. But now... Arabs in first class, yeah, you're right. That's suspicious.
Okay, pregnant woman in first class is okay because she's in first class.
Yes.
Even if she's suspicious looking.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
No,
and what was this
it makes
thing?
Absolutely no
you're,
sense.
You're talking about...
Well, it makes sense to those of us who gave 20 years of our lives to flying up in the air. And I'll tell you something else. I had pregnant Arabs in first class are pretty weird. That you got to understand. What's the chance of a pregnant Arab being in first class? Almost next to nothing. And I would say that...
Well, what is this story about the flight attendant?
I was on a flight, Alicia, that was getting unruly. And we had a power drill. We had a power drill that had been left in the cockpit by one of the ground crew members.
Mm-hmm.
I told my flight attendant to take that power drill, walk back to coach, plug it in the galley, and tell everybody that you were going to begin to pull the rivets out of that airplane if they didn't calm down. And I'm going to tell you something. You could have heard a pin drop.
She threatened to take the plane apart in midair.
That's right.
You know
what?
I think that this is the mentality that you use with first graders. I think we're dealing with adults here. And this isn't, you're turning
Yeah, but when you've got adults that come out of the bathroom and they're not supposed to put tampons down in the thing, and they do that. That used to drive me nuts.
Scheme of things, are these malicious people? A tampon in the toilet is not a malicious thing.
When it says don't put tampons and other foreign objects in the toilet, and the woman pulls it out of there and goes, well, watch this.
Do you think that she's trying to crash the plane when she does that, sir?
I don't know. I think it's a hostile act.
Oh, come on. It's not the act of somebody who wants to crash an airplane.
You want
to
bet? I flew for 20 years. For one of the biggest airlines in the business.
All right, Alicia, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Art Griego on airline safety and giving all the flight attendants everything that they want and all that stuff.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
On the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego, a former airline pilot who believes that flight attendants should be given way more power to decide who eats, who goes to the toilet, who sits where, and that way they're able to throw off any potential hijacker. But you're saying, Art, that this is something that only should be allowed, they should only have this power over people sitting in coach.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any question. I think the people in coach should not only have to obey the flight attendant, but they should be required to thank them for that treatment, whether they liked it or not. Because what has just happened, whether they know it or not, once the plane lands, is that those flight attendants have saved their lives. And
let's get back to this thing that only people in coach get to be ordered around.
Right. I don't understand what's unclear about that.
Why not people in first class?
People in first class are generally people who own companies. They are the managers. They're the people that they're the heads of the various departments. They're used to ordering people around. They're not used to taking orders. The people who sit in coach are going to be more likely to sit there and eat a whole lot of garbage from a flight attendant because they're just... Look, I can't... If you're telling me to order around somebody in first class, I can't do that. First class is a place... Oh, boy, it's a special place. Have you ever sat in first class?
Yes, I have. On occasion, I've been upgraded.
Oh. Well...
What do you mean, oh, well?
Well, you didn't pay for the ticket.
I got bumped up.
Okay. I'm talking about the people that can actually reach into their pocket and pull out a few bills. You know what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is you don't order around people in first class because they're not used to taking orders. But all of the, what do you want to call them?
People?
Yeah, the people in coach. You can tell them to, you can open up an emergency exit and tell them to jump one at a time. And if that's what's going to help the airplane, that's going to help the airplane.
It's getting back to this Linda Hamilton-style utility belt that you want to put on the flight attendants.
That is simply something you can put a, what we'd like to do is put a whip on those belts. And what that does is that lets those flight attendants, that lets those passengers know, I'm sorry, I am very, it's been a long day here. That lets us...
What's going on?
Well, the room's spinning a little bit. Ever since I got fired from the airline,
Drinking?
I have been drinking, yeah. No, but you put a whip on the belt, and if anybody gets out of line, you can hit them with it, or something like that. That's all I'm saying. But, coach, have you ever sat in first class?
You asked me that, and the answer is yes. I got bumped up. I didn't pay for the ticket.
All right. Pay for their tickets in first class. Coach is just a mishmash of people. People in coach are like stray dogs.
Hello.
Hold on. What do you want? Hey, light touch. Right here. Okay, look.
If you're busy ordering drinks, man, we can do this later.
No. Look, it's not often that I hear anybody talking about the airline industry who knows something about it, and I'm happy to be here. But anyway, a flight attendant with a whip can use it like Indiana Jones and swing across the cabin.
All right, Art, I think...
No, wait.
I think we have to go now.
Wait. You're not going to blow me off the line. I'm not allowed to have a drink?
You're the second guy in the last four nights I've had on my show that has been blind, stinking drunk, okay? And
I've had a very hard life. Yeah.
We got to take a phone call and then move along, all right?
Huh?
We're going to take a phone call and move along, okay? Here is Jay on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Jay.
What I'm saying is that the person that you got up there may have some decent ideas about security. The problem is... talking about air hostesses, giving them power. I think that...
Right.
Give
them the power of life and death.
No, but see, what I'm saying is that passengers probably will go along with it, but not the ideas that he is proposing, like, don't give food, pregnant woman, Arab, people sitting in the first class, it's okay. He doesn't even know.
That's right.
If you would just look at those people, who blew up this World Trade Center... Does he know that what seats they were sitting in?
what seats they're sitting in?
Yeah, does he know that? He probably doesn't even know that those people probably, you know, traveled in first class.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I believe they were in 40A and 40B.
It's possible, but...
How do you know that?
What sense does it make to buy a one-way ticket first class? That's nuts. That's a waste of money. Unless they got bumped up. Maybe they used their frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, that's what they did. They used their frequent flyer miles. Look, the man is asking the question, why do you profile individuals?
I'm just giving the flight attendants a chance. Where are you from, Jay?
I'm from India.
Well, you're okay. What are you worried about?
Well, I'm not. I'm just talking about, you know, his irrational ideas. And the reason why
let me ask you, what part of Indiana are you from?
I'm from Bombay.
Bombay, Indiana.
Bombay, Indiana.
Not Indiana, India.
Yeah.
Is that Larry Bird from it?
Larry Bird ain't from Bombay, India. He's from Bombay. I mean, he's from...
Well, he wasn't from Bombay, Indiana. He was from Bombay, India.
Right.
Where are you from, Jay? You're from Bombay, India, right?
Right, right.
Okay,
Houston.
Where's that?
Houston. Currently, I'm calling from Houston.
Okay. It's in Houston?
Bombay, India is in India, which is where the man is from originally. He's calling from Houston.
Right.
I thought I heard Indiana, and my apologies to you and to the host of the program. So go ahead, Jay.
No, what I'm saying is that...
Right.
If he was to make some rational comment, I think
right.
The community, the consumers can probably...
I'm trying to save lives. Let me tell you. Let me ask you something, Jay. If a flight attendant came back with a power drill and said she's going to take the plane apart rivet by rivet if anybody tried to hijack it, wouldn't that sit your ass down in a New York minute?
You think I would, if I was in that plane, you think I would sit down? I'd probably go attack the aeros.
Yeah, the flight attendant. You want to go up and take the power drill out of her hand.
That's against federal law.
I would attack the flight attendant right away.
Good. You know. These gals have been telling us for years that they want more equality. I'm just trying to give it to them and let them kick a little ass, too. You see what I'm saying, Jay? You know what I'm talking about. If you came from India, there's a pretty good chance you got here on an airplane.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And it's much tougher.
You didn't take a boat or anything. I'm guessing you flew here.
Yes. And with much, much, much tougher security than what we got here.
Where did you find that?
What is that?
Where'd you find the tougher security we got here? The security of America is the toughest in the world.
They hijacked four airplanes in the span of an hour.
Other than that?
No. All the security business, you know, in the U.S. is...
Why would they have more security in Indiana than they got any place else? It's all under the FAA control. You're not making any sense.
I got to hang up on you.
About FAA control. That's how they blew up. If you go travel foreign countries, you will see what kind of security they got in England, what kind of security they got in Israel, what kind of security they got in Far East Asia.
Hold on for a minute.
They need to turn this over to the government.
He just threw up, Jay.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody. Okay. Ooh, that's better. Hey, Jay.
All right, I'll let you all go.
Well, you come over here from India, you fly next time. And you know what I'm talking about.
He flew. That's how he got...
My cell phone doesn't work in the can. Yeah, there goes my phone.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show.
Bill Henry. Flashback. right now, our main heroes are our firefighters and our police.
The real ones, not some fake one.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, if you really thought that a 10-year-old son, a 10-year-old child with a BB gun was a police officer, check your bifocals, okay?
Hey, ma'am.
Second off, if you ever even actually think that a police officer is going to take your word for it and actually
shoot at a dog. It was the middle of a national emergency ever since 9/11. It's been in a national emergency situation. And
so what happened on September the 11th has got you seeing cops even when they're like kids?
What's wrong with going up to an Army Ranger?
What exactly do you do when you walk into a 7-Eleven? Do you freak out and hit the floor because you see some Iranian working? I mean, please. Do you
what?
Even do you just avoid going and getting
about?
Gas at a 7-Eleven or a Circle K?
What? I don't understand what you're saying.
I didn't get it either. What did you say, ma'am? Hit the floor about what?
I said, what do you do when you go to get gas? Do you just avoid all Circle K's and 7-Elevens, and when you see an Iranian or a Pakistani or something, you just don't stop there?
Why would I do that?
Well, I don't know. You're scared of cops. I didn't know if you were
scared of
people.
I'm not
scared
of cops.
I'm
scared of fake cops being mixed all together with the smaller ones. Look,
you're scared
you
of cops, but you're not scared of people from, let's see, Iran,
You're from Louisiana, right?
Oh, yes, sir, I am.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's where you shot that guy who was dressed as a disco Saturday night guy.
Now, forget that, okay? That was a long time ago.
Well, yeah, some guy dressed in a disco uniform.
And I'm sorry, sir, and where are you from?
Where am I from? California?
Yeah, and you've got kids shooting dogs with BB guns?
I thought
and
he was a cop.
And you're telling a kid
how
to shoot a dog with a BB gun?
How tall was the kid that you thought was a cop?
About 4'2".
4'2"? I've never seen a 4'2" cop.
Well, you mean never seen a 4'2" cop. That don't mean they're not hiring them.
In Corona?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and laugh, ma'am. Think it's so damn funny, but I can tell you right now, he could have been working undercover.
Well, obviously me and the rest of the U.S. think
undercover.
So, because
wait a second.
Even your own
working
wife
undercover.
Tells you this. It's ludicrous.
My wife doesn't know how to protect
What do you mean working undercover?
What?
What do you mean he could have been working undercover?
Look, Corona, California is well known. We have one of the largest midget communities in the country. That's A. B, you see some midget, like a 3-year-old, like say a 5-year-old kid that's 4'2", dressed in a plaid shirt and, you know, like work boots.
You automatically think it's an undercover midget cop?
In this town, yes. You know something, my wife can laugh at me, but I don't think I like any other woman doing it.
Well, I'm very sorry, sir, but I got to tell you something. But I'm sitting around here with a lot of other women, and we're all laughing at you, along with several other men.
That's dirty pool. All right, that's dirty pool. That's dirty pool. And
look at man. I mean,
well,
you got
also,
a large midget community.
I'm really trying to understand the mentality of a grown man who is telling a 4'2", 10-year-old to shoot a BB gun at a dog, and you want me to not laugh?
I thought it was an undercover midget.
You thought it was an undercover midget.
This is Saturday Night Live. My God.
You know something, ma'am? I have worked for my community. I've been an outstanding member of our city council 4 years running. I have a son and I have a daughter, and I want them to be safe on Halloween night. My son gets dressed up as a cop. He gets handed a riot gun. He's going to do some damage, and I hope it ain't on your...
Your son gets handed a riot gun by any police officer, then that cop needs to be, you know, dismissed from the force. Because I cannot imagine any officer with any ounce of brains doing that.
1-800-449. Phil Henry. Flashback.
In New York by Priceline.com, and the Phil Henry Show is in New York City this week. And just in case you didn't know, I do all the voices of Steve Bozell and Art Griego and all of them. That you've heard on the show, and then people call in. That's how we do the thing. It's really funny. It's kind of interesting to hear people try to explain this radio show. The other thing that I've been hearing since I've been here in New York from just about everybody I meet is, why isn't your show on in New York City? Well, our show is on in suburban New York. We've got a terrific affiliate in Stamford and Norwalk. We've got a great affiliate in New Haven. But we're not on in New York City. I don't know. Why aren't we on in New York City? Because the radio here, the radio in this city could really use us. And what we've been hearing from people is there's a whole political thing going on. And that's why, you know, the Phil Henry Show right now is not heard in New York City. But I'm sure someday, very, very soon, it will be. So there, I got that little plug in for a New York affiliate. Because the reason why I bring all of this up is if we get a New York affiliate, my wife has already given the green light. We're moving here. We're moving here, and we are not looking back. Now, I don't know, you know, the difference between L.A. and New York is obviously extreme. There's extremes, and I've lived all over the country, and I live in on the West Coast, and I live in the suburbs with houses that are way, way far away from the city, and you drive on a freeway, and you get there, right? And I was just talking to one of the guys over at Premier today who is moving to Los Angeles in a few weeks, and he lives right now in Greenwich, Connecticut. And they're concerned about, you know, the commute time and all this stuff. He says, I'm worried about the freeways. I said, well, how long does it take you to, in fact, I could switch houses with this guy. But I wouldn't want to live in Greenwich, Connecticut. I want to live right here in the middle of the city. But anyway, I said, well, how long does it take you now to get to work? About an hour and a half on the train. I said, it takes me a half an hour to get into work in Los Angeles. So if you're going to live in New York, you got to live in New York. I don't think you want to live out, you know, too far away. If you're taking a train an hour and a half, that's brutal, isn't it? Anyway, that was the word that I got from my wife earlier today. We can move here. But you know what? One thing that I would miss would be like the desert and the heat. I can't. Snow is something that I can't really do. Although today in New York City it was about 58 degrees. There was a little sprinkle of rain, and there's people walking around here. It's only 58, which is kind of livable, but people are walking around here bundled up like they're freaking Nanook of the North, man. I mean, they got the gloves, they got the hats, they got... I saw a guy with one of the... It's 58 degrees, right? L.A. gets down to 58, or Miami, or wherever we all live. And you don't see a guy walking around with one of those Russian missile silo hats, you know, one of those hats of those guys, right, you can't go into Kremlin, you know, with the gloves and the thing, you know, like a big, you know, Lenin star in the middle of it. Yeah, it covers the ears, the head, you know, the whole face. It's like a burka. What are you making fun of those women wearing a burkas, man? A guy wearing a ski mask over his kisser. But no, it's just been a phenomenal. Now, tomorrow night, supposedly, we've got all kinds of visitors coming in here. One of the things you guys may not know, those of you who saw the live show from the L.A. Museum on Friday night, we had about 300 people right there in the theater, and then I don't know how many more we had outside in the closed-circuit TV room. Probably something you don't know about me, but I can tell you now, I don't like doing live remotes. I don't like doing them in front of an audience. It makes me very nervous. It does things to my lower colon. It makes food that was otherwise going to be digested come right straight back up again. And now tomorrow night, we're supposed to have all kinds of people coming in here. The Joint Chiefs of Staff, President Bush, the Taliban, they're all... Osama bin Laden's going to sit and watch the show tomorrow night. And this is, you know, this is not conducive to my mental health. So what I'm going to have to do is leave here and go directly to the closest Italian restaurant and slop all kinds of food down. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Thank God we walk everywhere in this town. Thank God we're walking, because if we weren't, they'd be pushing Henry out of a cargo chute off of the airplane when it gets into L.A., man. I'd be in a cargo container. My ass widening as it sits here. But I'm going to get out and walk a few blocks and maybe burn the fat off before I just put it back in again with a big plate of pasta. All right, it's the Phil Henry Show. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Get your backstage pass. Great stuff coming up on our website.